from the corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Last week was one of the best sports weeks we've had in a really, really long time. It was a heck of a sports weekend. Giants were very successful. Two out of three from Houston. Welcome to the neighborhood, Chris Bryant. Saw the A's look good down in Anaheim. And right before you get any comfortable, we find out that Trey Lance might be the greatest quarterback of all time. So we'll have to talk about that today. And we've got Peter King to do that with at 2:30. And then at 3 o'clock, we go bonkers. It's NBA free agency, and it's going to move quicker than the NBA draft did. Welcome, everyone. It's great to have you here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Ray and Matt, hello.
Hi, Mom. How are you?
I'm feeling fresh as a daisy. I'm so excited. And as I saw someone tweet earlier, who I don't remember, so I can't give credit for the clever joke, I'm just excited for 3 o'clock to come around so these players and teams can finally start talking to each other in the NBA.
Wouldn't that be nice? They finally start reaching across the table to negotiate with each other. It's nice to be in person.
And then 15 deals are done in 3 minutes.
Exactly. We are going to dive headfirst into free agency like it's a deep end, and the deals will be flying. We know that. What deals will be flying the Warriors away? Again, we're going to have almost 3 solid hours of NBA free agency coverage coming up. And I know our last show was really all about the Warriors, and rightfully so. This is a very exciting and important time for the franchise. And we got Tim Bontemps a little bit later on. But Peter King is going to join us at 2:30. We're going to get into training camp. He was down in Santa Clara, so plenty to talk about there. I mean, if rookies in shells looking good matters, I guess it was an important start for Trey Lance and company. If putting on pads and looking smooth matters, well, everyone kind of had a bad day. I've been following training camp this afternoon, and you put pads on and things get a little choppier. So we'll have an awful lot to talk about with Peter King, obviously. And man, that was a nice little debut for Chris Bryant, wasn't it? I mean, this seems to be a relationship that is just out of the gates in a lovely fashion. There's an old saying in recruiting, Ray, I'm sure you know about it. You know, if you want to win the kid, you better win the mom. Well, a long way to signing extensions means you win the wife and the kids. And it feels like the Giants are off to a great start doing that. It has been a warm embrace, and the honeymoon with Chris Bryant seems to be going smashingly.
To be fair, though, anybody who is currently a fresh ex-Cub is doing really well. So it may not just be Bryant's magic. It may simply be shaking off the cobwebs of Cubdom, because Anthony Rizzo has been 3 times as good. Javi Baez is basically saving the Mets from their embarrassment with Kumar Rocker. So if you're an ex-Cub, you did swell. And if you're a current Cub, you're screwed.
I don't know what the topic is, but I feel like the cobwebs of Cubdom is a great name for a blog, you know?
I just feel like I'm being made fun of right now. I feel like I'm being picked on by Ray.
It's not your fault. You're not the one, you know? It was Jed Hoyer, or really more specifically, the Ricketts family. It's not you. You're just catching shrapnel. You know what I mean?
You're an innocent bystander
catching shrapnel.
That's all you are, Robin Williams, is collateral damage. Yeah, I need Robin Williams in Goodwill Hunting just saying, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Big hug.
But look, yes, everyone who used to wear a Cub uniform had a heck of a weekend in a new uniform. And that includes Chris Bryant. I mean, that did go very, very well. And I think more importantly than anything else, you take 2 of 3 against Houston. Winning series is the name of the game. And they did that. And you get the best chance to pick up a half a game over the Dodgers as you're going to find all year tonight, because the Giants are playing in Arizona and the Dodgers are idle. And we all know what they're coming back with, a vengeance. So beating up the kid you can pick on is a good way to be a bully in the National League West. We know that the Giants are built to pick on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we'll see if they do. I think they're playing 6 of their next 9 against Arizona. So it's time to make hay while the sun is shining, for sure. Giants are 8-0 in Logan Webb's last 8 starts. Like, it's getting more and more impressive every single time you look up at this young man. It's it's coming together. It's coming together at the right time.
It also helps that his run support's been awfully good. But you can't dispute the fact that he has become, frankly, the leader in the clubhouse as the number three starter. I don't think he'll be one or two, but he looks pretty solid as the three at this point. I think he's pretty well separated himself from Cueto and Wood. So I think that's what we're looking at in October.
I agree with that, although I would echo something you said last week, Damon, that if you're playing the Dodgers and if by some miracle you're playing them in a wild card game, I don't know that you wouldn't consider him, because now it's not just what he's done against the Dodgers. It's also like the way he won that game this weekend, having a really good baseball team. In fact, the best hitting baseball team in baseball. Jump on you early, and not only limiting the early damage, but then really locking into a really good start against that incredibly good hitting baseball team. Like, I think it was Dave Fleming who said to us that the last month or two of Logan Webb is not just decent, it's like turn a corner, really showing you something type of stud pitcher stuff. And that's what that looked like to me this weekend. Everyone can get pounced on by a team that hits as well as the Astros. Very few major league starters bounce back as well as Logan Webb did in that game.
Dude, and the Astros hit a ton. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're good. I mean, unlikable, yes. Cheated, yes. Caught, yes. Punished, not enough. Blah, 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 blah. They're a really good baseball team. They are fantastic all the way around. I love to hate them. They remind me
a little of the Yankees of my youth. Like, they're that hateable and that good.
Yeah. I mean, they're just loaded. They're loaded. And
it's a relentless assault, that lineup. Completely relentless.
It does not stop. You're right about that. It does not stop. Today, NBA free agency will not stop once it begins at 3 o'clock. And what the Warriors do, who they jump into, who jumps into their arms, is probably the better way to even look at it, right? Like, who wants to come get a hug from the Golden State Warriors is probably as big of a question as who do the Warriors really want to reach out and hug today? By the way, in just transparency's sake, Ray, nor Matt, nor I, nor Lucas, nor Grandy Maldonado can actually hug each other today. We're all back at home. Without getting into too much detail, the building that we work in popped up with a COVID positive, and I can assure you that it wasn't our floor, it wasn't our station, but out of an abundance of caution for a couple guys who got young, unvaccinated kids at home and a pregnant wife and just everything that Joey has been through. We're just taking an abundance of caution here today. So pardon any glitches or burps or anything like that. But I want to thank, you know, first of all, our crew, Lucas and Grandy and all the engineers who set us right back up. I don't know about you, but I pushed the button today and I connected right to the station so easily. I swear to God, the other shoe is going to fall at some point in time here. But it was really easy to go back to this, and we thank our bosses and everyone above us just making it extra safe, and we really appreciate that. So pardon any glitches today. Hopefully there won't be any glitches come free agency. Just give me a name. Like, give me a name that you're feeling with the Golden State Warriors. Matt, I know you jump into these. So give me a name, Matt. Who do you want to see today? Is it Batum?
Batum would be great. If you're asking me for my number one guy that I'd go, oh, it's Otto Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that almost feels out of the question, though, doesn't it? He's gonna get big money from somewhere else, isn't he? He's, what is he, 25?
He's 28, okay. But only just. Okay. And it does feel like he could get more than the Warriors could offer in a different place, which is why if you're asking me for, like, a really good, realistic target, Nick Batum's a great name. But if you're asking me, what's the best I think they could do? It's Otto Porter Jr. saying, sure, I'm 28, but also I've made an awful lot of money, and I'm not loving the offers I'm seeing, so I'll take your $6 million for 1 year and watch how good I look next offseason.
The only flaw in your argument is the notion that players can ever say the phrase, I've made a lot of money. They never.
Yeah, I'm not
have
arguing
enough.
It's going to happen.
No. I'm not saying that you're saying that. I'm just saying that I don't think they ever form the phrase, "I've made a lot of money," because one, the money they've made, that's already made. They want to make a lot more money, and so while I think it would be a delightful ad for the Warriors, I think he's probably looking for a bigger payday than the Warriors are willing to give.
Well, and
I agree.
As far as that goes.
To prove your theory a realistic theory, Ray, Chris Paul is the living embodiment of what you just said. If I had told you the day he found himself in Phoenix that he will be voiding the final year of a player option for $44 million at the age of 74 or however old he is, you would not have believed me. But coming off a tremendous year, he did just that. Obviously, Phoenix is the destination. Might something wacky happen with Chris Paul? How quickly will Kelly Oubre Jr. come off the board? Will that even happen today? It's a fascinating 3 o'clock hour coming our way. We're going to like steamroll into NBA free agency right at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, Peter King, right around the corner at 2:30 to talk about training camp and everything that he saw from down in Santa Clara. We also have a very delicious kind of rumor-filled innuendo. Hell hath no fury. Is he cheating? Is he gambling? San Jose Sharks story with Evander Kane, which just caught everyone, I think, off guard over the weekend. So we're going to come on back and talk about that a little because, again, Peter King at 2:30. And then we get into the rest of a very interesting baseball situation, clearly. And NBA free agency, the bonanza begins coming up at 3 o'clock. So it's good to have you aboard today. Damon Ratto and Kolsky were brought to you by the BetQL Network on the Odyssey mobile app. Go ahead, check it all out, BetQLNetwork.com. Wagertainment, morning, afternoon, and night. You can find it all. BetQL Network streaming now on the Odyssey app. It is good to have you here. This is going to be a fun Monday on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome. It is good to have you here. What an interesting Monday we got coming up. Peter King joins us in about, less than 15 minutes from right now. We got an awful lot of 49ers stuff to talk about today. Somebody on the text line says, nobody's going to talk about Nick Bosa's girlfriend. All I can tell you is I've seen the thread of tweets, and she seems lovely. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. It seems to be less than likable. No other way to say it. No other way to say it. I don't know if I even really want to go down the road because we got another little bit of a scandal. It's actually maybe a real scandal to talk about. But did you guys see the thread I'm talking about that is pretty much all around Twitter today?
She sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bosa's girlfriend's a racist. I mean, I don't think it's too complicated. I'm not sure what there is to say about it other than Nick Bosa's girlfriend's a racist. There are several things about Nick Bosa on a personal level that I don't love, but, you know, he's not – I don't know what else to say. We can't just talk about that all day.
No, but we can say this. Less than likable is very much giving her the benefit of the doubt. Unless she can prove she didn't say it, she's despicable.
Feels that way, but hey, he can get after the quarterback. So concerning football,
that's football, folks.
Yeah, that's football, folks.
Yeah. That's what we do.
It is. Yeah. It's a weird world, kids. It's a weird, weird world out there. Yeah. It's like there's a whole bunch of really good people and there's a whole bunch of really not so good people, and we all have to figure out how to live together during a pandemic, which, oh, by the way, thanks to people like that, means we're back at home today. But anyways, let's get into another scandal that's like officially a scandal, not just a dislikable person. And Ray, here we go. I mean, how often do we, on a big Monday with Peter King coming up in 15 minutes, need to talk a little Sharks hockey, or Evander Kane, I should say, more than Sharks hockey? But we have to, because this is a big story. It might be a big story. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. We don't know enough yet. But this weekend we learned that over the course of, you know, he's denying the allegations his wife put forth on Instagram, saying, "My husband is a deadbeat kind of left the family father who has a gambling problem that has crossed the lane into addiction to the point where he's rigging games that he has bet on, that he's playing in for the San Jose Sharks." And obviously he has come forward saying none of this is true. She's saying all of it's true. The NHL is saying we need to investigate. And the Sharks are saying we need a transparent investigation. Wow. Wasn't expecting this. And Evander Kane has done a lot of things throughout his life and career that are, he's not a great guy. He's shady as hell. There's no doubt about that either. But this, you get accused of gambling on a sport by your wife, that pings on everyone's radar.
Yeah, the NHL basically cannot walk away from this one. I mean, like every other league, the NHL likes to sort of soft pedal, sort of, quote, investigations. This is one that they can't avoid. They have to look into it deep. And if it's for real, he's got to be banned for life because, you know, gambling on your team or gambling on your sport, that's the third rail. There's no dancing around. Well, if he bet on his team, it's okay. No, it's not. It simply isn't. So if the allegations are true, he's done. And if they're not, I think we're going to see a very unpleasant divorce from here on out. And you're right. Evander Kane's resume as a guy is pretty spotty. But this is the all-in move. This is the one that says, I'm so angry at you, I'm going to see if I can take your career away. And if she's right, he shouldn't have a career.
I mean, it's just, we don't know anything besides his wife or ex-wife or estranged wife's accusations.
Yeah, I mean, they're
so
still married.
So it's hard to weigh in too strongly, but
they're still married, but apparently he's like partying over in Europe or something. Anna Kane wrote in an Instagram story, and I'll quote, "How does the NHL let a compulsive gambling addict still play while he's obviously throwing games to win money? Maybe someone needs to address this," end quote. So she has since deleted these tweets. But it's really big. It is known that he's had some massive gambling tabs and debts in Las Vegas, and there are receipts to prove that. He is connected directly to a story of basically offering a woman $3 million to have an abortion, which she did have. And then he didn't pay her. He's been brought to court over that. No fewer than two other women have accused him of physical violence. Those court cases really never materialized in criminal complaints filed against him. But a Sharks team spokesman wrote in an email to the Associated Press that the San Jose Sharks have been in contact with the NHL about very serious allegations made against Evander Kane. "We support a full and transparent investigation into the situation to maintain the integrity of the game and consistency with our team values." And that's it. I mean, the only thing professional sports have are the integrity of the game. The integrity of the people playing the game, they can be questioned. But the game itself must be, especially without gambling involved, on the level. And that would be the ultimate nightmare for any commissioner. I mean, I guess, you know, in baseball, where it's kind of like wink and a smile, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying kind of agreement. At least that's how the Astros were dismissed or whatever. But this is something else. I mean, this is, we'll see. We'll see what this investigation turns up. How much would you bet, Ray, on the NHL really being transparent with this? And if they find, like, the grubbiest story in the world, do you think they'll rush to tell it or rush to cover it up a little?
Oh, they won't be transparent, but they will be thorough, because the thing they have to do, in addition to investigating Kane on these charges, is to figure out, through the investigation, whether there were any other players involved. Because this is not one where you can just get one and say, well, our job is done. They've got to be extraordinarily thorough. Would I expect them to be transparent as well as thorough? If the NFL is any guide, no. But I think they're going to want to get as close to the bottom of this as they're able to.
Yeah, I mean, this might be the one type of scandal or what have you that a league actually has motivation to, if not be transparent per se, at least be thorough and punish aggressively. Because as much as, you know, banging trash cans might cheapen a World Series title for some fans, it's a totally different level than gambling and throwing games. Like, throwing games is the one thing leagues don't even want to have the slightest perception of potentially being the case. It's worse even than a crooked ref.
It's bad. There's no doubt about it. If it's true, Ray, you're right. It should be a career ending. Not another shift ever gets skated by Evander Kane if this turns out to be true. A pretty good question on the text line. We'll just stay with this for one more minute when it says, how could Evander Kane be throwing games when last year was his best season statistically? Now, I'm not going to open any hockey reference page right now to prove whether it was or wasn't a good year for him. I know it wasn't a good year for the Sharks. So what would you say to that, Ray? Did Evander Kane just have the best year of his career?
He had a very good year by any standard. That does not preclude the charges from being true. And I would simply caution the texter that individual performance is not proof of consistent individual performance. There might have been games where he didn't have a very good game for reasons other than that's what happens sometimes with athletes. So that's not dispositive of anything. He did play very well, and it could be proof that he, you know, tried his hardest every time, but it's not. It doesn't say, oh, there you go. We don't have to look into it. Because it's not just about performance. It's about performing every night or working as hard as you can to perform every night.
Real quick to Rich in Fremont here on 95.7 The Game. Hello, Rich.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm going to try to keep it as short as I can. Personally, myself, I don't feel like this is something that either of these sports franchises should have look at this and think, oh my God, why is this happening? It's like, come on, man. You brought sports betting into your franchises. Did you really think that this wouldn't happen?
Well, we don't know if anything did happen. I mean, that's the thing. Like, let's get some and look, the fact that gambling is now being embraced by sports on a business front facing kind of in the window scenario doesn't mean, like, this could have happened in any year. As a matter of fact, it would probably be easier to happen when there wasn't so much attention on it. And I don't mean to cut you off, call. I don't mean to cut off our caller. Let's go back to him. But I don't want to talk about it. Oh no, he's gone. I guess, well, we got Peter King coming up soon. So I didn't mean to be short with our caller, but we just can't say anything has or has not happened yet. We don't know.
Well, and beyond that, I don't understand the thought process of you've welcomed gambling into your sport. How could this not happen? Just in terms of gambling exists. Like, if in fact Evander Kane is a problem gambling addict, I doubt he gambled for the first time when, you know,
game
he
one
got
this
an
year.
App last year. Right. Yeah. Like, so you know, gambling has always been out there, and I'm not sure that taking ad money from gambling websites makes players more likely to cheat. That just has never tracked for me.
No, you get involved in that when you have something you're trying to hide and somebody has found it out and has decided to profit from your behavior. So it's not about, oh my God, it's legal to gamble now. I got to put $5,000 down on the Coyotes. It doesn't work that way.
By the way, you'd be throwing away that $5,000 on the Coyotes, right?
Yeah, although it is a fairly safe bet. No, I think, you know, I don't think this is time specific, and I'm not defending the NHL's, you know, falling in love with gambling, because that's really more of a business decision for them to make more money off citizens. But, you know, does it increase temptation? I don't know. That would require a gambling expert. And, you know, Kane has had gambling issues before, although nobody has ever made a connection to actually betting on games. I mean, he tried to have his contract voided last year, and you know, because of you know, financial reasons linked to his gambling debts, and he's been sued by at least one casino, I believe. So yeah, it's a hot mess. But I don't know what conclusions to draw, except that if he did it, he's got to be gone. If he didn't do it, there's going to be a hot mess in court.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get back to that because it feels like a big story to pay attention to. But obviously, whenever a backup quarterback looks better, oh my gosh, in practice than the starting quarterback, it's news around the NFL. And the man who covers the news around the NFL better than anyone, I'm so happy to tell you, he's going to be back with us for another season. Peter King joins us on 95.7 The Game. Peter, we appreciate you joining us as always. Thank you very much for your time today. How are you?
Hey, everything's going okay. I just leaving the Chargers today, and it's good to be back out on the road covering the NFL.
I bet it is. It's good to have you back out on the road. I know that that road brought you to Santa Clara, and everyone who just saw a little practice over the weekend came away raving about Trey Lance. Can we just hop right into the nonsense right away? I'll ask, can Trey Lance actually show Kyle Shanahan enough in practice and throughout the preseason to become this team's week one starter? Could it happen just based on practice?
You know, I doubt it. I don't think it's impossible at all. I doubt it. I mean, Kyle Shanahan told me the other day that I think Jimmy Garoppolo playing at his best is going to be very, very difficult for Trey Lance to beat out. And but, you know, we'll see. It's like, I can just tell you this right now. Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what's going to happen. And I think that's exactly the right way to be. You need to let this process play out organically. You can't on August 2nd say, well, I'm really pretty sure that Trey Lance is going to be better over the next month and I'm prepared to start him. Just, you don't have to do that. You know, you can let practices go and just see. But as I wrote about in my column today, there was a throw up the seam from Lance to Brandon Ayuk about, I don't know, 23, 25 yards at the practice I saw. And I was standing right behind the defense, you know, Eric Armstead, a bunch of guys on defense. And in unison, a lot of them went, ooh, when they saw that throw. And so I maintain, you know, the years I've covered the game, training camp in July and August is very much about the young phenoms coming in and proving to the war horses that they can play. And that's part of what this training camp is about for Trey Lance.
The ooh factor aside, do you look at Kyle Shanahan, based on his resume to date, as a guy who would sort of make this gamble without being prodded to either by an injury or by horrendous performance? I mean, is this really, you know, is this people who want to see a quarterback controversy before it can really develop? Or is he the sort of guy who could say, you know what, I really liked his work. Let's go see.
I mean, that's why I say he has no fear of making the tough call. And he will. Now, I happen to think that he won't be making this tough call for a while. Just my gut feeling, if you ask me what my gut feeling is, I think Jimmy Garoppolo starts the season, and he plays as long as he's playing well. And when he doesn't play well, then there's a chance, a pretty good chance, that they'll put Trey Lance in if Shanahan feels he's ready. But I won't be shocked if he starts Lance opening day either, because I believe that he does not think in his mind right now that he knows what's going to happen. So just let the process play out and then make a judgment when you have to make it. You don't have to make that decision on August 2nd. You have to make it on September 8th.
As far as playing out that process goes, what in your mind are the things that Trey Lance has to show in order to take the job? Like, if the question is, when is Trey ready, what does that look like? What does he have to do to be ready?
You know, it's one of those, I think you know when you see it. Plus, you know, it's like I was with Sean McVay over the weekend. We were talking about Matthew Stafford. And last week, maybe Thursday, I think it was, he put on a play from practice and showed it to his team. And it was a play where Stafford was under pressure in the pocket, and he looked at his first option, didn't love it, looked at his second option, it was covered, and his third option had a little window, and he threw a 89-mile-an-hour fastball that Robert Woods caught for a touchdown. And the reason that he showed it to his team was not only, hey, we got a stud. The reason was, hey, listen, you know, in football, sometimes you can be under pressure and you have to make decisions that maybe you would think, man, we don't have time. But then you see at the end, see, sometimes the best decisions you make, you really have to go through and you know, look at all your options. And I think that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan has to do with this quarterback position. He has to wait and look at all of his options, and he has to look at quarterback play and quarterback meeting room stuff that we're not going to be privy to, that only he can see. And if whenever he's really confident that Lance is going to play better than Garoppolo, I think that's when he'll play him.
Peter King with us here on 95.7 The Game. So look, a rookie looking good in shells is one thing. That's good, positive start, and those are the signs you want to see. You also want to know that the young man is in his playbook, and apparently he is, and those things can be tracked. But Kyle Shanahan is no dummy. I love this exchange from over the weekend. Here's Kyle Shanahan on Trey Lance leading the team in iPad time.
I actually haven't heard that. Someone mentioned that to me before I came in, so someone must have mentioned that to Peter. I'm sure Bracken told probably Lynch that or something, which is cool, but I also know how electronics work. You can press play and watch a movie while that's just going next to you and act like it was on for 8 hours. So how they are, I mean, that's why I don't ask everyone's hours. I kind of just see, are they prepared? And it wouldn't surprise me because he seems prepared each day.
So do you think he's just plowing through season upon season of Game of Thrones, or is he really in his playbook?
I don't know. I don't You know, I truly don't know how that stuff works. I wish I did. I just take it that, you know, and that's what I had heard, that of all the iPads that have been distributed to the 90 players in training camp, that the one that has logged more minutes than any other iPad user is Trey Lance. So, you know, what does that mean? To be honest,
we don't know.
I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means that he's studying in earnest to try to learn everything he can. And quite honestly, I'm not saying I'd be surprised if anyone else was in first place there, but I don't think it should be particularly surprising that the guy who is the high first round draft pick, who knows that he might start very soon, you know, that he better know everything clinically. So that's why it really didn't surprise me when I heard that. But I do think it's telling.
if putting quarterback aside for a minute, do you feel like this 49er overall roster talent ranks up there with the best teams in football right now?
Definitely. I think if they can protect and if they get – the thing I'm really worried about for them is their secondary. I found myself looking out the other day, and this is probably a two-hour segment one day, but I found myself saying, man, you know, the guy who they could really use right now is Richard Sherman, you know, but that's not going to happen. But anyway, the point I was going to make is I'm worried about the secondary, but as I go along my trip, I said, hey, here's what I saw, here's what I think, blah, blah, blah. And I told one coach who I spoke to, I said, you know, the what would worry me about the 49ers is that I think a really good quarterback can pick that secondary apart. And he said, hey, it's not going to be that big of a factor if, and it's a big if Bosa is right, if Armstead is back to form, you know, if he's playing at his peak, you know, if they're going to have the impact from that front that they had 2 years ago. And look, they're missing DeForest Buckner, so they probably are not going to have the same impact. But I do think that if they have good health on their defensive front, that the secondary is not going to matter as much. But that's the thing I would be most worried about right now if I were them.
If secondary is the major concern, and I tend to agree with you, is Xavien Howard a possibility?
I don't see how the 49ers, who have so many people to pay, can take on a whatever he's going to end up being, a $17 million player. I mean, it'd be one thing if the cap was going to 240 next year. It's not. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but it would surprise me because they have so many people in-house that they want to pay.
Peter, it's one thing to have a good sophomore year after a kind of a struggling rookie year, but Brandon Ayuk was exemplary, I thought, in his rookie year. What do you think we see out of him in his sophomore campaign?
I think what's really interesting about this group is that Ayuk and Debo Samuel are, I mean, there can't be five or six teams in football that have a better 1-2 punch on the outside than they have. But I mean, I think part of Ayuk's success is going to hinge on what happens in the slot, whether that ends up being a bit of an upset special like Mohamed Sanu, let's say, or whether finally, after these 2 years, that Jalen Hurd can stay healthy and can be the guy who looked like 24 months ago he was going to be. You know, after that preseason game against Dallas, I think everybody felt like he was going to be. I walked out of camp that I remember that year or that day 2 years ago thinking that I just think this guy could be one of the best offensive rookies in football. But that hasn't been the case. They need someone to emerge as a threat in the slot. And I think if they have a threat in the slot, then that means that there will be less attention paid to Brandon Ayuk. I think that'll make him better, but still I think he's gonna have an excellent year.
All NFL teams ride or die on the line of scrimmage, and obviously the offensive line, it became a concern last year. No one really thought it would be, but they regressed from the year before, and they've upgraded at center and Alex Mack. They have added 25 pounds to McGlinchey, and it feels like those are the two biggest areas they needed to work on. What do you expect for this year's Niners offensive line?
Alex Mack is a huge addition for this team. You know, I think the Niners feel he's probably got 2 years, at least one very good competitive year left. I talked to him after practice. He is really fired up to play back where he went to college, you know, being a Cal guy. He loves it there. He loves being on this team. And I think he brings not only the physical play, but he's as intelligent an offensive lineman as there is in the NFL. And when you're trying to get everything straight in difficult times, in kind of panicky times, maybe sometimes with some players, he's going to have a calming influence. So I love that, but you're right. That was a disappointing part of their team last year. It's got to be better, and we'll see if it is. But I think that, you know, the pivot man has really improved the entire scenario.
Did you go look at the 49ers early because you think they are the most compelling story, or are you building to other things you like better?
I went to the 49ers early because my wife and I went to Berkeley to babysit our two grandchildren for the last 6 days of my vacation. So rather than flying home to New York and starting on the East Coast, I said, I'm out here. Why not just start out here? There's no deep, dark secret to it. But I do think, you know, I rated the 49ers fifth in the league when I did my, you know, silly power ratings in the spring. And so they're definitely a team I wanted to see. I never met Trey Lance, got to meet him briefly, talked to Garoppolo, had a good chat with him. And, you know, I just think there's a bunch of guys on that team who are interesting. And I think overall, I think it's a compelling team for this year.
What do your grandchildren think?
They could care less. I mean, I spent 7 hours one day playing Legos, and Freddie, who's 4.5, after finishing one gigantic. Okay, so I mean, why am I with a four and a half year old? I don't really know the Lego life. Why is there an 8 and over Lego thing that I'm doing and having to figure out during that period of time? So we finished that mid-afternoon, and he goes, let's do the other one. And I said, I just thought to myself, I would rather gouge my eyes out with a fork than do another one right now. But I said, nah, we'll save that one for tomorrow. So we did.
So you lied to the boy.
Yes, that's right. Okay. I did. But
sounds like the truth to me. They saved it for the next day, right? You know?
Yeah, we saved it.
It was absolutely telling the truth.
Yeah.
Looking more broadly at the league, especially if you think Trey Lance isn't likely to begin the year as a starter or maybe even start any games at all this season, which of the rookie quarterbacks do you see making the biggest impact on the field?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question. I think when I look at where teams are with their quarterbacks, I think it would be hard to say any name other than Zach Wilson, just because Zach Wilson is going to play. There's nobody else there. I mean, who else right now with the Jets? I mean, it's ridiculous they don't have Nick Foles or a veteran backup on their team. They don't have a veteran backup. Whereas you look at Trevor Lawrence and you basically say, I'm assuming that Gardner Minshew is going to be the backup. And, you know, Gardner Minshew has won games in the NFL before. I can't even name who the Jets' number two quarterback is. I think it's that guy Morgan from Florida International or something. I forget. And so I think that means – I don't think it necessarily means that he's going to be the best, but I think he's going to play the most.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. And look, forever, we'll always have – Raider curiosity in the Bay Area. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
So let
me just ask, is this the year that Gruden and company actually take a step forward, or is it going to be another mulligan in a 10-year deal?
I think it's easy to sit here right now and say, look at all this great talent the Raiders have and all that. And I tend to think that they're better than they showed last year, okay? However, and it's a big however, they're counting on a bunch of things to happen that I don't think are any locks. They're counting on Yannick Ngakoue, who, you know, has been on four teams in 12 months. They're counting on Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, wouldn't you think that if somebody thought he was a great pass rusher, the previous three teams wouldn't have let him go? That's kind of what I think. So they're counting on him. They're counting on Max Crosby to come back at the other end to duplicate his rookie year. After last year, he was a lot quieter. They're counting on Cleland Furl to come back and to be anything like the fourth player picked in the draft, which he hasn't been. They're counting on Solomon Thomas to be reborn. So they're counting on a lot of things. It's like I had lunch with Brent Musburger when I was in Vegas, and he does the games on the radio, and he said the exact right thing. If they don't get the offense right, they can say whatever they want about, boy, Kenyon Drake is a great ad. John Brown is a great ad. Boy, they're going to have a much better year with Henry Ruggs. And I get that. But, you know, and then there's also the matter of the offensive line, which is, you know, look, they're hoping and wishing for a lot of things to go better than they did last year. And look, they're not going 2-6 at home. That place is going to be loud. It's people in Vegas. I don't know if they're going to end up being like they were for the Golden Knights, but I think they're going to be loud. I think it's going to be a good home field advantage. So they're not going 2-6, but at some point, all these guys who they picked high in the draft have got to play a lot better than they have been. And I question whether they would. I asked Gruden, I was there on Thursday or Wednesday. I asked Gruden, are you pissed that you're 19-29? And he gave me the Gruden look, and he goes, no, I'm not pissed because of where we came from. We had a long way to go when we got here, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, you know, and again, I'll bring this up. I think it's a little bit of a cheap shot. But look, in the regular season over the last 3 years, John Gruden is 19-29, and Mike Vrabel is 29-19. And Mike Vrabel makes a third of what John Gruden makes. I mean, as my daughter Laura would say, I mean, I'm just saying.
So, Peter, it's a point to be taken. It's why you don't want to probably bid against yourself when you're hiring a coach. And that looks at what the Raiders did when they made that decision. Let's wrap up with how much of a shadow you think Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay can actually cast over the NFL together, or is that a bit exaggerated?
I think they are right now, they're in the honeymoon phase of their relationship, and I think that Stafford is going to be significantly better than Goff, but the fact is Matthew Stafford has played 12 years in the NFL, and although he's had some wonderful individual seasons, it is the job of a quarterback, at least in part, to lift his team. And the fact is, he never was able to lift his team. And so he's got a much better team. I mean, he has never had a defense. Who has? With Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on it, and another really good corner on the other side, Darius Williams. So that defense is going to be good and is going to make it so that Matthew Stafford doesn't have to score 33 points a game. But look, I think he's going to be good. But I also think that there's part of this that I'm not totally drinking the Kool-Aid on Matthew Stafford. I like him, but, you know, it's time for him to burnish his legacy, because if he never played another down, he'd be viewed, even though players in the NFL love him, love his arm, love his competitiveness, all that stuff, he's got to burnish his legacy, or he would go down in history anyway as a disappointing player.
Peter? Thank you so much. We're so excited to have you back on the show every week talking NFL this season. We appreciate your time as always. Don't step on any Legos in your free time.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you very much. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Looking forward to having him back. We're going to have so much football around the corner. There is no doubt. It is coming at us like a train. You can see the headlight getting bigger and bigger and bigger coming at you in the dark tunnel. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Oh, by the way, speaking
we
of...
We know how painful those Lego steps can be. So careful out there, Peter.
Look out, everybody. Look out. It's real. The threat is real. So Hurt is the threat of free agency, baby. NBA free agency is about to get underway at the top of the hour. We all know that by magic, there will be deals that are being just constructed within 60 seconds of free agency, and they're going to materialize in front of us as if by some wizardry. So This is going to be an awful lot of fun. It's going to happen quickly, and we're going to be all over it. What do the Warriors do? And obviously, the little bit of news today that Mark Stein put forward, that all signs are pointing towards the Warriors working out a four-year, $215 million extension for Steph Curry this summer. It brings me back to the point that we were making, I think, you know, as we watched the draft last week. Everyone, in their breathless need to have their immediate desires satisfied, is framing this as it's now or never for the Golden State Warriors. Their window is the next season, and then it closes. Look, the minute Steph says yes to that extension, that's your window. This guy is special. This guy takes care of his body better than anybody. He is a living testament to cardio. He is stronger than you would imagine. He continues to get stronger. There's no resting on his laurels to be seen. He just came off his best year ever on one of the worst and least ready-to-win Warriors teams he's ever really played on since they turned that corner. So an awful lot is coming up.
I want to try a quick thought experiment here, okay? Chris Paul was just one of two guys leading a team to the finals at age 36. Is there any point in Chris Paul's career where Steph Curry wasn't better than Chris Paul at the same age?
I mean, we'll have to pull out some comparison side by sides, but I'm gonna lazily say
maybe
no.
Early.
I don't think so. Early on, I think Paul was a little bit more of a ooh than Curry was in his career. But once the ooh factor began in Curry's career, it dwarfs Paul's accomplishments or abilities in many ways as a scoring guard, as a control of the game guard. I tell you what, good thought experiment. Wrong time to do it though, because we've got to take a quick break. We'll do it right on the other side. We got 3 hours of nothing but basketball to talk about. It's NBA free agency. It's starting at 3 o'clock, and we're going to be right back here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much to Peter King for joining us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.